The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Horn Family Automotive Studios.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmatt, Sports360AZ.com, on AZCentralSports.com, on White Mountain Radio, on Twitter and Facebook. All different ways to bring you the content that is Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. Hope you're having a great Tuesday. Kurt Warner is going to join us in about 15 minutes. All things Super Bowl related with the NFL Network and Valley residents' own Kurt Warner. That's in about 15 minutes. We'll have that for you. Coming up a little bit later on in the show. So today out at the Waste Management Open is Dream Day. I'm going to check in with Eric in a minute. That's coming up here in the half hour. Talk to the Lopes today. Every week we do Talk to the Lopes with Grand Canyon University. Appreciate the partnership with Grand Canyon University. Udema Udofia was a stud football player at Chaparral, went on to Stanford, and is now in their strength program over at GCU. He will be with us today. I've heard that he battled asthma, that he was at Stanford around the same time as Richard Sherman. I don't know, but what does he do at Grand Canyon University now? Because he's a heck of a player. That'll be on Talk to the Lopes. We have some other things we're working on as well. Eric is out at the Open today, so let's get you caught up in some of the things on my mind in the world of sports first, and then we'll get to Eric. What's on my mind in the world of sports brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. The Honda Resort and Casino, where you pull down the slots, you have great winnings, you eat great food. The Super Bowl is this Sunday. You're looking for the place to watch the big game. It's at the Honda Resort and Casino in the White Mountains, just outside of Pine Top by a couple of miles. They're making snow at the Sunrise Ski Resort. Honda Resort and Casino has been with us since day number one. Appreciate the Honda Resort and Casino. Okay, I'm going to go to the Super Bowl in a minute. First, let's go out to the Open because Eric is out there. Tuesdays, I think, is the best day at the Open to get really up close to the players. Before we get into the Super Bowl stuff and Kurt Warner, Senior Executive Vice President of Everything, Eric Sorensen, is out there. Where are you at right now?
Practice range, a bunch of the pros, Y.E. Yang, some Carl Peterson, some others are out here warming up, and we are just waiting for the Dream Day to start. The Dream Day is supposed to start at 10 and then 11. I'll walk across the corridor to the Special Olympics Open that's taking place at the putting green here at TPC Scottsdale.
You're using your golf voice. You're talking very quietly.
Well, I've got about a dozen security guards staring at me right now, so the quieter I talk, probably the better off.
No phones on the course. So I'll make it short. So as you go over to the Dream Day, you've never been to this event before. I was telling you yesterday. So you're going to have Randy Johnson and Bruce Arians and Mark Grace and several of the other Diamondbacks. And the whole deal is they're teamed up with a Special Olympian, and they have a putting contest. Our buddy Tim Hovick from Santan Ford will be part of that too. So the Special Olympians, Eric, when you're there with your camera, they will mob you. This is their day, and it's a cool story. Anybody with any ounce of a heart or soul gets teared up when they see these guys able to compete with in a two-man putting competition. So I hope you're looking forward to that, and don't feel bad if you get a little emotional because it's a good story.
Yeah, I've seen it from a distance, but this is the first year that I've covered it. I'm going to be tag teaming it with Jared Cohen, who is en route to TPC Scottsdale. And again, they're running a little bit behind schedule right now. We're supposed to be already taking place in the first half of the Dream Day out here on the driving range, but nothing has started. And again, more of the pros are trickling in and getting some work in before first round play starts on Thursday.
All right, let's go off that. If you find anybody interesting, just call in and we'll put them on the air. There's Eric Sorensen. Out at the TPC Scottsdale. We're doing the show at TPC Scottsdale from the Patriots Outpost. Yesterday, Eric and I went out there to just bump around, and they put us in a tank. There's a big tank. Literally, I climbed in the tank, and Eric put on Twitter, it was very funny. I thought the Suns were supposed to be the ones that were tanking, not Brad and I. So we had some fun there. We actually met up with Derek Hall and hung out with him over on 18, where they have a beach. There's some pictures of all this stuff that's up on our Facebook page and on my Twitter feed too, at Brad Sesmatt. So that was a lot of fun. Phil Mickelson, I'm going to start with that, and then I'll get to the Open from the Open to Super Bowl Media Day, because Super Bowl Media Day, it's pretty predictable what's going on right now, but there's some things that are of interest to me. if Phil Mickelson is not able to play, Phil Mickelson pulled out of tomorrow's Pro-Am. He's the defending champion in a lot of people's minds. They go out to see the golf. Not too many, though. This place has become Tiger-proofed and could even one day become Phil-proof when that day does come, because it's going to come, where Phil Mickelson retires. So I don't think Phil needs to play this week. I know that the Thunderbirds want to have him. This isn't anything disparaging towards them in the event, but if Phil's got to fly all the way to Georgia, which is what he did, he flew all the way to Georgia to have his guy work on him and look at him. Well, to do that and then turn around in 3 days to come back and play here just because you feel the obligation, because it's your pseudo hometown course, because it's Arizona State, because you have so many ties here, because you're the defending champ and all that stuff. No, I'd rather see you be at 100% for the Masters. I'd rather see you at 100% for all the majors, even if you didn't play this week. I think fans are pretty forgiving. I think all of you would be like, hey, we get it, Phil. It's okay that you don't play. I don't think there's going to be people saying, I got shortchanged. There's a lot of golfers out there. Obviously, I want to see him go. But for him to be in that type of condition and try to work through it, maybe he plays Thursday, Friday and says, I just can't do it. I've got to pull out. But it wouldn't surprise me, and it wouldn't disappoint me, really, if Phil said, I can't go. I get it. I completely get it. But that's the big story here in the Valley and in the state today, is what's going to happen with Phil. In terms of the Super Bowl, so there are some interesting developments today, some storylines, I should say. It's media day, which means you're going to have the Food Channel interviewing Wes Welker at media day. You're going to have VH1 and MTV, and they're all going to look for the most creative. And Jay Leno will have somebody there as Jay's leaving. So this guy can say anything he wants, right? These on-site reporters that have no interest in the sports end of things, it's fine. I'm not one of these holier than thou, my gosh, you guys have invaded the sanctity of sports and all that. It is entertainment. And there are enough guys there that are real, traditional journalists that will tell the story or the story themselves. Richard Sherman is one of those. Some interesting news out of the Richard Sherman camp today. So Richard Sherman agreed earlier this year to write for Peter King's website. Peter King, one of the great people. We've had Peter on the show a number of times. One of the great people around the NFL, a fan of the sport, has covered it for years and years and years. He decided to do his own website. It's kind of like what I'm doing with my thing. Just go do it yourself. That way you don't have to have nitwits get involved that don't know what they're talking about, that don't have the passion for what you do. And one of the things that Peter did is he reached out to Richard Sherman at the beginning of the year and said, hey, why don't you contribute and write something for the site? So Richard Sherman's been writing for him. So guess who penned a piece that showed up this morning on what he learned this past week? Richard Sherman himself. I'm sure media day, when he does speak today, it will be interesting. I'm sure that if Marshawn Lynch, that's the other storyline about Marshawn Lynch, I'll get to that in a minute. There's some interest there. Peyton Manning talking about how he hasn't played his best football yet. That's kind of interesting to me. That's kind of scary if you think about it. But he talked about that. They have all sorts of availability. Today, though, is one of those where hundreds of people will descend on them and all sorts of things will be written, said, put out there. But the Richard Sherman piece that he wrote today, I went through it this morning and I retweeted it too. Richard Sherman wrote a piece today. No one has ever made himself great by showing how small someone else is. That's Richard Sherman's thought. That's what he wrote. He said, that's not mine. It belongs to Irving Himmel. Somebody tweeted it at me after the NFC Championship game. If I could pass a lesson on to the kids, it would be this. Don't attack anybody. I shouldn't have attacked Michael Crabtree the way I did. He continued to write, the stage is bigger than I thought it was. How much does America love football? My one little rant made it onto CNBC and CNN. I heard my name on The View. I got tweets in English, Spanish, French, Italian, Czech, and Arabic. People identify with the struggle and the battle of a football game. Yes. When to look away. I've always had a good sense of this, but there came a point in the aftermath of the NFC Championship game when I had to cut off the attention. The incident was so polarizing that he had to pick a side. Richard Sherman also wrote that he learned that he's lucky to have detractors. He writes, you have to take a step back and understand that you're playing a game and the people who say disparaging things online and on television are trying to take you off that game. He wrote that it's not all black and white. Race played a major part in how my behavior was received. But I think it went beyond that. This was interesting to me. Would the reaction have been the same if I was clean cut without the dreadlocks? Maybe if I looked more acceptable in conservative circles, my rant would have been understood as passion. These prejudices play a factor in our views because it's human nature to quickly stereotype and label someone. We all have that. And I'm not going to go all the way through this, but you're anonymous until you put yourself out there or show up in a big game. I did both. Maybe if I looked more acceptable and conservative, my rant would have been understood as passion. And I happen to agree with that. That's not my personal view. I don't see color. All I saw was a great competitor make a tremendous play to get his team to the Super Bowl. I've not talked about this day in and day out because it's low-hanging fruit. Guys can sit here and debate this for the last 10 days. I did it for about three, and then that was enough. To advance the story further, now that he has weighed in on it, I really like where he's coming from on this. I think the Demaryius Thomas story is pretty interesting. We'll take a break here in a minute, but I think the Demaryius Thomas story is interesting. So the Broncos wide receiver, his mom is in prison for 20 years. His grandmother is serving a life sentence. They were in on a conspiracy to distribute cocaine. So could you imagine going out and playing whatever it is or performing whatever it may be on a football field or in the boardroom or in your place of business, knowing that the backdrop is personally your mom is in prison and your grandmother is in prison because of distributing cocaine. That's a story. And then there's Marshawn Lynch. So Marshawn Lynch signs a deal with Skittles today. Skittles is the 14th most popular candy in the United States. Annual sales of $150 million. Today they announced they've signed Marshawn Lynch. Gee, what great timing. The morning of the Super Bowl media day. Hey, we've got a deal done with Marshawn Lynch. Now, Marshawn Lynch has not talked in the last several days. He has, several weeks rather. He just doesn't talk after games. And he could be fined as much as $50,000 today if he does not speak at Super Bowl media day. I happen to like to have heard Marshawn Lynch. I said this on the show after the NFC championship game. It would have been nice to hear from him. But there wasn't even a Marshawn refused to come on with us. There was none of that. Here's the debate on this. If you're Marshawn Lynch and you're Skittles and you have all this national media, and I know this is way off the football field. That's why I've got Kurt Warner here in a couple of minutes. But if you're Marshawn Lynch, how much attention can you bring to your little candy deal that you just signed if you don't talk today and you're fined $50K? Who cares? It's $50K to Marshawn Lynch, and Skittles is probably going to sell. They do $150 million. With Marshawn Lynch, they'll sell more than that. So I kind of find that interesting. The guy cut a business deal, and the day that he cuts the business deal, is he still going to be quiet? And if he stays quiet, is he going to get more media attention for his candy? Guys like me talking about Skittles, I don't get paid anything, but I think it's kind of interesting. So I like that story a little bit. You know, on the field, we've talked about the matchups and all that. We've had many guests on. And on the other side, we'll continue the guest parade. Kurt Warner joins us on the Super Bowl. Playing in the wind, which has been an angle to a lot of guys. I'm not the Weather Channel dude, but I do think hearing Kurt's view on Peyton Manning and Russell Wilson throwing into the wind at Giant Stadium will be very interesting. Kurt Warner's next. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com, AZCentral.com, White Mountain Radio on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Kurt Warner joins us now for a couple of minutes, NFL Network analyst, of course, the great Arizona Cardinal, as he is getting into Super Bowl mode this week. Brad Sussmat with you. We'll be at the Waste Management Open all week with the golf end of things in 70 degrees, and then back in New York, of course, the Super Bowl. Next year, the Super Bowl will be out here. I don't have to ask Kurt about any weather questions, and I'm not going to other than the wind. Let's just get into that first and foremost. You've heard all these angles all the last week and a half. What is it like playing in that stadium from a weather standpoint if it's windy?
Well, I mean, the wind can change directions and swirl at any given time. I think that's the crazy thing, is that it's not always consistent in the fact that, okay, you know, it starts out blowing a certain direction and you expect it to kind of stay that way for a period of time. I mean, you can look up at the flags on the goalpost, and within minutes, they can be going from one side to the other, one direction to another. And so that's what makes it so difficult, is you're trying to, you know, gauge things, whether you're kicking or whether you're throwing the ball, especially with deep balls, you're trying to figure it out. You know, throwing into the wind versus with the wind, it's completely different from a quarterback standpoint and how you have to throw the football. So that's what makes it so difficult, is being up on that and really recognizing what the wind's doing on any given snap.
What advice would you give to Peyton Manning and Russell Wilson in regards to the wind?
You know, I think the biggest key is you try to just stay in your game. You try not to let those kinds of things affect you too much. Now, you know, you have to gauge it, and you have to understand, okay, when I'm throwing into the wind, I got to keep that nose down, and I got to try to fight it through the wind. Probably have to throw it a little bit harder. But I think for the most part, it's so easy to allow weather conditions to get into your mental framework and start to affect you before you even go out. I think you recognize those conditions, try to change, you know, make those little tweaks that you can to have more success, but don't let those things bother you, especially before the game, since we have no idea what the weather conditions are going to be.
When you became a Giant, it was a rough run there, but did somebody sit you down and give you advice on the wind?
No, not really. You know, we just practicing right there by the stadium. We were able to kind of get a sense of it. When you go into games, again, you kind of just have to gauge it. And I was fortunate that I could throw fairly well into the wind. I could cut the wind fairly well, you know, with my arm. So I didn't have a lot of problems from a wind standpoint, but I was also fortunate. The year that I was out there, I think we played the very last game on a Sunday night of the football season, you know, playing at whatever time, 8 o'clock at night on a Sunday night. I think the temperatures at kickoff was 65 degrees. So we had a very mild winter the year that I was out there anyway. So I didn't have to deal with any crazy conditions, you know, such as, you know, what we could see, what we've seen this week, and what we could see at Super Bowl.
Kurt Warner with Brad Sussmat. Take producers from NFL Network out of the mix. Take storytellers out of the mix. What are the angles that you yourself are looking at saying, this really fascinates me about Sunday night's game?
Man, there are so many things because of the strengths of both these football teams. You know, I think, you know, the one, obviously, is Peyton Manning, is you want to see him in the cold weather. If there is some wind, are they going to come out slinging it kind of like they have all year long? I think the other thing is with these big receivers of the Denver Broncos, you know, as good as they are, they have problems with press coverage because there's so much space to be able to jam them that, you know, that's what Seattle does so well, is they jam you at the line of scrimmage, throw off your timing. It's a timing-oriented offense. You know, so that's going to be a key. Another thing is with that press coverage, Peyton is so good at calling plays, little rub plays, you know, creating interference for his receivers to get them open. So those are a few of the things that I'm fascinated by, to see how the cat and mouse game goes between this defense, these playmakers on defense, and Peyton Manning. You know, all these great receivers we talk about versus the great DBs, the Legion of Boom. I just think there's some great matchups and the little great things that are going to go on, you know, kind of under the radar for me, that I'm going to be watching for, that I think will dictate the outcome of the game.
Do you think that the 26-year average age of the Seahawks and not one player in a Super Bowl means anything? Kurt?
Yeah, I'm here now. I lost you for a second.
No. The question is, do you think the angle of the average age of the Seahawks being 26 years of age, not one player that's ever been in a Super Bowl, do you think the lack of experience angle means a thing?
I don't think it means a whole lot. I think the biggest thing for me is always the week leading up to the Super Bowl, and not just the game itself, is that being able to handle what is the Super Bowl and the festivities that go with it, and the media coverage, and, you know, all the focus that's on you, that I think sometimes it's easy to get caught up with all of that stuff, especially if you're a young guy. And I related to when I went with the Cardinals, and I don't know what our average age was, but as far as playoff and Super Bowl experience, we didn't have very much. And so just watching the faces of guys, you know, from ownership on down to the players and the staff, of just experiencing what was the Super Bowl, that it's a very overwhelming situation. So I think the key is always handling the emotions leading up to Super Bowl. I think once you start the game, You know, it's going to be business as usual as much as just playing and doing the XOs, but you can really wear yourself out and get hung up with all the other things, which takes away from your preparation. And I think that's where experience plays in, is you know what you're going to get. You know you have to embrace some things. You know the schedule's going to be crazy. But just having that little foreknowledge of what you're going to see can pay huge dividends. And that's going to be the interesting part is, you know, can they manage those things? They seem like a mature bunch in Seattle, even though they're young. But that, to me, is going to be the key. And it's usually not how they play on Sunday is related to preparation. It's more based on how they dealt with the week leading up to that.
Two other questions. We had Aeneas Williams on yesterday's show, talked to him about being a finalist again for the Hall of Fame, hopeful that he gets in this Saturday. What's your gut tell you about Aeneas Williams and the Hall of Fame?
I mean, the thing about the Hall of Fame right about now is it's so stacked with great players that there's so many players beyond just five that I think deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, and Aeneas is one of them. You know, he was one of those great corners that you had to, you know, you had to account for every time you played him. He was a difference maker in the fact that not only could he play great coverage, but he could turn the ball over and he could turn the ball over and make points out of it. And, you know, he was just a special player. And, you know, I know the person that they are doesn't necessarily go into it, but having a chance to play with Aeneas, there's no greater quality of person as well. So great preparation. Performed well week in and week out. I think, unfortunately, his time in Arizona, because there wasn't a lot of spotlight on the team when he was here, probably is what hurts him the most. But if you saw him up close and personal and compared him to some of the best corners that have ever played, he's right up there in the mix and in my opinion, deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
What before I let you go then, 20 parties, 30 parties, endorsements, business meetings. I know I'm going to see you on NFL Network, but you got a whole bunch going on, I'm assuming, outside of just your TV time this week.
Yeah, I do. You know, there's a lot of different activities, like you said, you know, whether it's Radio Row and doing interviews all week long, whether it's going to the parties at night and my obligations with the NFL Network. My boys will come out and go to the game with me, so I'll do that in between my work on Sunday. You know, so it's a fun week. It's a busy week, but it's a great way to culminate, you know, our great game. And so I'll be taking part in a lot of different things, hopefully catching up with some friends that I don't get a chance to see. So it will be packed in over the next 7 days, but it'll be a great, great fun.
As always, appreciate your time. Thanks, Kurt.
All right, thanks, Brad.
Kurt Warner with us. So the wind has been talked about quite a bit. The weather continues. I don't get the whole weather thing. I really don't. When I hear discussion, and I've talked to some of my media friends that are back there, that discussions of moving up the start time of the game, there was even some people that suggested that they should put the game back to Monday. I mean, come on. It's like, oh my gosh, we're going to freeze. These people that want to pay thousands of bucks to sit in a plastic seat in the snow and in the rain and in the wind to watch a football game? Oh, but it's not, it's the Super Bowl, Brad. Wouldn't you want to do that? No, no, no. See, I have a couch. It's a nice big couch. I have a big TV. And I don't know, I've got a bathroom that doesn't have 20 guys backed up in it. And I don't know, I could probably go grab my own beer. I could probably go put my own nachos together quicker than the guy who's going to do it. I can do all this. I don't need to go sit out. You guys, I don't know. How many of you really would want to go sit in the cold to watch if it's not your team? If you're a Bronco fan or a Seahawks fan, I get it. Is it one of those deals where it's, oh, what do you mean you wouldn't want to go to a Super Bowl? I'll tell you, yesterday, when the news came out yesterday afternoon about how Phoenix Glendale has been selected as a finalist. There's eight finalists for a Final Four here. And it's for the 2017, through 2020 bid cycle. And so the 2017, let's just say that Phoenix gets this bid, because I've been long pushing hard. And I've told the people at the Final Four bids here in the Valley that, look, consider me a resource. If you need any sort of media help, we should try to help. Doesn't matter if it's myself over here, if it's AZ Central, doesn't matter. We want big events. Next year, we have the Super Bowl here. The year after that, we have a national championship game in college football. And if the year after that, if we're sitting here in 2017 and we have a Final Four, 3 years of gigantic events, and the Final Four is the best event. It is the best. It doesn't matter if you don't like college basketball or not. It's the best event to go cover. It's the best event in terms of enthusiasm and energy because you have four colleges that are this close to a title. It's the coaches' convention at the same time. The NFL has become a corporate deal. You know it and I know it. So when I hear this stuff about let's change the start time of the game, maybe we should push it up because the weather might be too bad. Oh my gosh, we can't have the weather be bad. It's football. I want to see this game played on even conditions. No, you don't. The ratings will be fine. They'll come out next Monday and say it was one of the greatest ratings ever, and we're going to go to more cold weather cities. I don't know. We're sitting out here just saying, come on, guys, bring it on. Bring it on. We're going to have a great Super Bowl out here next year. We will. We'll do it upright. But to get a Final Four, to get a Final Four, now that, we already have all the, we've got the NASCAR, we got two NASCAR races already, national title game, Super Bowls. We've done all that. Never done a Final Four. Very much looking forward to that. On the other side, we're going to head out to Eric out of the golf course because today is Dream Day and a lot of the sports, Randy Johnson's out there, Mark Grace is out there, Bruce Arians is out there. Who's Eric trying to get on the show while these guys are working with the Special Olympians? Maybe nobody, it's fine. And then we have Talk to the Lopes today. Dima Udofia, former Chaparral High star, played football at Stanford, now part of the Antelopes over at GCU. GCU and the Lopes, big part of what we do here at Sports 360 AZ. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center, available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
Brad Sussmat with you, Sports360AZ.com on AZ Central Sports as well. Appreciate Kurt Warner being on with us. Let's go back out to the Waste Management Open. Eric has been out at the Waste Management Open. We go from Kurt Warner, and I understand that Bruce Arians is on board with us for a couple of minutes. Bruce out at the putting range as well because it is Dream Day. I believe Coach is there. Coach Arians, Brad Sussmat, can you hear us there?
Hey, Brad, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Coach. I'm good. Just went from Kurt Warner to you, and I'm just curious. We'll get to football in a second. I know we have a couple minutes. Dream Day. Now, how big a golfer are you, Coach?
Oh, I'm an avid golfer. I love it, and this is more important today playing with these kids than tomorrow.
It's one of those events I tell people that when you're there with a Special Olympian and you're working with them for 45 minutes, it's the biggest thrill in their life. You can't wipe the smile off their faces.
Oh, it is amazing. And to watch them compete and do something they love to do. And, man, they are practicing right now so hard. It is great to watch them. And I'm really, really happy to be a part of it.
Bruce Arians with Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes. So tomorrow you're in the Pro-Am. Do you know who you're playing with?
I have not. I've not found our pairings yet, but I don't think it's going to be as exciting as my partner today.
There you go. I like that. I like that. Have you worked on your golf game much here in recent weeks, Coach? It's a busy
time
of year.
I actually went over to Georgia, and we found the coldest weather of the ever. So I know how to play right now in 45 degrees. I'm not sure about 75 degrees.
And you have your big event, right?
Yeah, we have our tournament's coming up March 7th and 8th at Kierland, and it's going to be an outstanding event this year, I think. Peyton and Andrew Luck and Ben Roethlisberger and Danny Marino, a bunch of guys are coming out.
That's terrific. That's terrific. Before I let you go, so do you have a thought on the game this weekend, Coach?
Well, I think it's going to be a great game. I just hope the weather doesn't change the outcome of the game for one team or the other. Then just let them fight it out on the field. And I'm just guessing the Broncos with Peyton winning it late.
If the weather is bad, does it favor one team over the other, Bruce?
Oh, I don't think it really helps Seattle.
I'll let you go off that. Enjoy your time out there. Thanks for the couple of minutes.
Oh, you bet. Thank you, Brad.
You got it. Bruce Arians running around out there and doing his thing at the Waste Management Open with the today's Dream Day with the Special Olympians. And that's what today is all about. Appreciate his time. Talk to the Lopes in a couple of minutes. Let me get into the Suns here before we get to the break. So the Suns last night, they beat up on Philadelphia, and they should beat up on Philadelphia. What's impressive to me is the fact that the Suns played a back-to-back. They won at Cleveland. They didn't play well at Cleveland until the second half. Hornacek gets into them. They go out in the second half, in the third quarter, rather, and put up a 25-6 run on the Cavaliers. Next night they fly into Philly, have every excuse to say, well, it's back-to-backs. You know, you hear that nonsense. Oh, my gosh, we're playing a back-to-back. I don't hear that out of Jeff Hornacek. I haven't heard the, well, it's going to be really tough for that stuff. They just go out and play. And Gerald Green continues to produce in a way that if you looked at the trades, and even back to Media Day, Media Day for the Suns this year, Gerald Green was just a guy sitting over to the side that nobody wanted to talk to. Just a guy hanging out. And here he is becoming a vital cog in what they're doing offensively. Last night with 30 points. Goran Dragic, you can make the argument, should be on the All-Star team with the way that he's playing this year. If anybody in their right mind would have predicted that Goran Dragic would be an All-Star, you would have needed to have the cooking sherry taken away from you. You wouldn't have needed to be drug tested. That just wasn't in the cards. I still think they're a better team with Dragic coming off the bench like Manu Ginobili. When Bledsoe gets back and in the postseason, I know some of you are going to think I've been drinking on the cooking sherry, but no. I think that have a spark like Dragic in a big way coming off the bench. Some guys, and way teams are constructed, they get all worked up. Oh man, I'm not announced as a starter. There was a son one time that got all bent out of shape because he wasn't on the cover of the media guide. It's distributed like to hacks like me, right? And this guy was all torqued out, and that his jersey wasn't prominently positioned in the team shop. Diva times 10. I mean, use for that. But then, you know, in the case of Dragic, I don't think Dragic cares. So they win two in a row on this road trip. They have an off day in Milwaukee. How do you get rewarded for winning two in a row? Why, you get to spend the night in Milwaukee. You get a Milwaukee night. I joke about Scottsdale nights for these NBA guys, where they roll and they have an open night in Scottsdale, and the next night they're hungover and their legs are shot because they went to Scottsdale. It's Milwaukee night. Yes. So they get Milwaukee tomorrow night, and then they go to Indiana. I think they're going to get drilled at Indiana. Indiana got ripped here. I think they're going to get drilled at Indiana, but it's fine. They already have a 500 road trip. It's pretty impressive what the Suns are doing. On the other side, talk to the Lopes every week. Grand Canyon University, part of what we do on Tuesdays. And Udemy Adofia, the former Chaparral High star, went to Stanford, football standout there. Is involved in their strength and conditioning program at Grand Canyon University. Really good story. Talk with him next as we continue on. Also still to come, a crowded quarterback house at the U of A that I think is going to see one leave and maybe one come on board. We'll talk about that as the show moves on as well. Brad Sussmat with you, sports360az.com, azcentralsports.com, on White Mountain Radio and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
We're on your mobile phone and tablet at sports360az.com.
Brad Sussmat with you, sports360az.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, on Twitter at Brad Sussmat, and of course on Facebook as well. Thanks again to Bruce Arians and Kurt Warner. We switch our attention now, as we do every Tuesday, talk to the Lopes, Grand Canyon University Sports, gcu.edu. It's always good talking Lopes. And this week, a couple weeks ago, I was talking to the people at GCU, and I says, I'd like to talk to Udemy Adofia. And when I saw his name and I ran into some people that had mentioned that he was at GCU, I remember how he's just a terror on the football field at Chaparral. He went on to Stanford, and now he's over at Grand Canyon University in the role of performance coach. I said, let's get him on the air. So here he is. Hey, Udemy, it's Brad Sussmat. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Brad?
Doing good. I'm doing good. If I would have told you that when you were young as an asthmatic athlete, that you would go on and excel in football to the point of going to Stanford, that you would then go into the world of performance coaching at Grand Canyon University, that you'd overcome asthma, that you would be an exceller in your sport, would you have bought into that?
No, not for a minute, Brad. Growing up, it was just a struggle to, you know, run 10 feet. I wasn't even allowed to play sports by the doctors until around middle school, so all that growing up was just a dream to me, so I'd say I would be blessed to have this opportunity that I have right now.
How did you get through being an asthmatic child in the world of sports?
Honestly, it was a team effort. It took a lot of encouragement from my family and also, you know, my friends that I grew up with from elementary through, you know, high school, that chaparral, some of these guys, you know, in second grade, kind of when I was out at practices, sometimes that asthma attack, you know, would come up and I just want to, like, you know, stop playing or, you know, or go to the sideline, grab my inhaler, and, you know, between my, you know, my parents and my siblings and my friends, everyone would just encourage me, push me along the way. And eventually I just learned how to control it, you know, better and better, to the point where, you know, it wasn't an issue by the time I was in high school.
Were you a basketball, football, baseball kid? Did you do everything? Were you just a football kid? Did you try it all?
I was mainly a soccer kid.
I like that. I'm a soccer dad, so I like that a lot.
Yeah. My parents, you know, being from Nigeria, soccer is the main sport there. So growing up, that's really what we played. It wasn't until one of my buddies who I was in Boy Scouts with, his dad, asked my parents if I could, you know, start playing, like, basketball and, you know, football. That's when my parents started letting me pursue other sports, but mainly I was just a soccer guy.
So when you're at Chaparral, that's one of the top high school athletic programs in the state. And this doesn't demean other high schools. Parents get all wound up at me when I say it, but that's a fact. And Chaparral is one of the football factories here in the state. When you're there and you're getting into football, were you overmatched or was it just a natural sport for you? Because to go into high school at Chap and go to Stanford on a football ride, that's pretty impressive.
I would say that I was kind of brought along at a nice rate. Kind of all the guys in my class, no matter how good we were, everyone played, you know, a little freshman ball, a little JV ball. And then, you know, by junior year, kind of you started to play, you know, get some playing time on varsity, and you were ready to, you know, face whatever came at you. So I think the coaches back then did a great job of developing our talents and making sure that we weren't in a situation that we couldn't have success in.
Udemy Udofio with us, performance coach at Grand Canyon University, with Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ. Talk to the Lopes. We do this every week. When you got the offer from Stanford, were you already of that mindset, I'm going to be able to go pretty much anywhere, or what was your reaction?
It was a bunch of emotions, kind of validation, kind of all that hard work paying off between, like, you know, middle school through high school, kind of trying to overcome the asthma and become an athlete. And I think I didn't think I could go anywhere because I only had a handful of offers, but Stanford was the one I really wanted. So, I mean, that's all that really mattered to me at the time.
And you go to Stanford, and tell me about that experience.
Stanford was one of the best experiences of my life. I mean, kind of got to meet a lot of unique individuals, a lot of, you know, highly intelligent, athletic, you know, people who would become successful in, like, you know, whatever they put their mind to. So it was just a kind of unique collection of individuals I was around at Stanford. So I have a bunch of close friends that I talk to, you know, on a regular basis still from my time there, teachers that I'm close with, advisors. So it was just a great experience.
Were you there when Richard Sherman was there? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I was there with Sherm. My brother's actually one of his real good friends since he attended Stanford as well after me.
Yeah, and so this whole thing that's gone on the last couple of weeks, you know him a little bit, or are you surprised by all this stuff the last couple of weeks?
I'm surprised that it's gotten blown up to this level. I think any football player would tell you that stuff gets said on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of guys need to go out there with confidence in order to have success. And I don't think Sherman's cocky or arrogant. I know him personally. He's a very humble guy. He's a great guy, you know, always helping out in the community, always a great friend. I just think that when he's on the football field, he believes he's the best, and so he carries himself that way.
So now that the backstory is out there on where you've been and what you've done and everything, let's move to where you are now, Grand Canyon University. Your title is performance coach?
Yes, it is.
And what does that mean?
That pretty much right now entails that I help, you know, certain teams, whether it's men's and women's basketball or, you know, the men's and women's volleyball teams, and kind of help ensure, along with the rest of our staff, that these athletes are getting the proper programming to help achieve their athletic potential, kind of helping them guide them on nutrition, and just helping them out with any needs they might have as an athlete.
So are you like an accountability coach? Or is every coach an accountability coach?
You know? I think every coach has certain relationships with their athletes that allow them to become like accountability coaches at some point with some of the athletes. So,
sure.
You know, a lot of athletes, I spend time outside the weight room talking to them, seeing how, you know, their personal lives, their academic lives are doing and making sure everything's in line so that they can have success on the field.
How did it come about that you ended up at Grand Canyon?
Well, it's an interesting story. In fact, when I was at Stanford, my brother was, you know, a standout senior football player at Chaparral, mm-hmm. and he broke his leg. During his time rehabbing, the guy who rehabbed him is Chuck Howard, who's the director of sports performance here at Grand Canyon now. At the time, he had his own gym. And so when I used to have, you know, a week off, you know, at some point during Stanford, whether it's like for summer vacation or whatnot, I'd come home, and that's where my brother was training. So one day I decided to come along with him. Met Chuck, was impressed by what he did, and then we just stayed in contact over the years. So when the time when I had stopped pursuing my professional career, I came to Chuck. He offered me an internship, started getting, like, you know, certifications, learning the business, and eventually got offered a job here.
And so, and we'll finish on this note. So athlete comes to you, or you just observe every day. How does it work? You know, when you get into somebody, is it just they run in every day and you're in all of their faces, cases, knowing what's going on to help them through, or do you pick your spots?
I think I pick my spots. Every athlete's different. Some athletes don't like to, you know, share all their business with a coach. Some athletes like to do that, and I'm there for the athlete in whatever, however they need me. So if an athlete wants to come and tell me about, like, hey, I'm struggling, you know, gaining weight or losing weight, mm-hmm. or I need to get stronger, I need to jump higher, or classes aren't doing that good, how did you deal with that when you were a student athlete? I'm there for them for any, to give any advice may need help with.
That's terrific. So, I mean, and that's great that you're pouring yourself back into other people. Good story. I appreciate visiting with you. Look forward to seeing you down the road and meeting you in person.
Oh, sounds great, Brad. Me too.
You take care. Diema Yadofa with us for a couple of minutes. That's Talk to the Lopes. Every week, Grand Canyon University. And I was there at GCU on Saturday night for their basketball game. And it was, I'm trying to describe the words for it, because I went to ASU for their game, and then I went over to GCU for their game, and it's just a different environment between the two places. And I'm not going to say one thing or another about this place better than this place. It's just a different environment. That's all I'm going to say on it. It was an interesting night. I'm writing something about it. I'm wanting to talk to some of the coaches that have already rolled through at GCU and played games, and coaches I see at ASU too, so... appreciate that. Talk to the Lopes every week right here on Sports 360 AZ. On the other side, so we'll reset everything that's going on in the world of sports and much, much more. We'll check back in with Eric. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. When I say it's all about you, I don't have anything here in front of me. I don't have any teleprompter. I don't have anybody saying, you know, no. So today it's like this. It's up early for meetings this morning at 7:30. It's me checking my voicemail while I'm in my vehicle, and I'm not fumbling around. I'm just saying, voicemail. Do you have that? Right? It's me yesterday having to go someplace in downtown to pick up some items, and I'm at a stopped spot. I say, navigation. Do you have that? And do you use it in the right way? I see people all the time that are driving and doing this. That's not good. That's not good. So I'm hands-free. I'm in the Fusion. And I'm getting great gas mileage. And by tonight, when I'm sitting at my daughter's high school soccer game, I will have gone a lot of places, done a lot of business, seen a lot of people today. And I can do it in comfort, luxury, and style in the Ford Fusion, the 2014 model. I fit in it at 6'8". Now, how about you? As you're driving along, are you in a vehicle that you have that much confidence in, that you talk about in a way that says, I'm very comfortable with what's going on and what I'm driving? Santan Ford, Santan Ford, where it's all about you, General Manager Tim Hovick and company. They do it upright. They've been a part of what we do here at Sports 360 AZ since day number one for over a couple of years now. That's at Santan Ford, Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Just go to santanford.com or just stop on in off the 202 Santan and Val Vista. Santan Ford, it's all about you. So Arizona football. I got a couple minutes on that I want to get to. The U of A is in a spot where National Letter of Intent Day is next week. Rich Rodriguez is flying into town today. He's flying into Phoenix today. He's going to go visit prospects today and tomorrow. U of A already working on their 2015 class, from my understanding. But there's an interesting development at the quarterback position with the University of Arizona. They have a real logjam at quarterback. Right now, by my count, they have at least five quarterbacks that are on their roster. I think eventually it's going to come down to Connor Brewer, the transfer from Texas, formerly at Chaparral, and Anu Solomon, the quarterback from Las Vegas. I think it's going to come down to those two to be the starter next year, and along with a junior college transfer. I think Jesse Scroggins, who many of you U of A guys have said, where is he fitting in here? I think he's leaving. I don't think he's going to be there by the time they get through their spring ball. I think he's done. So U of A and ASU are both pursuing a quarterback that's here in the Valley over at Basha High School, Zach Werlinger. I've said that Zach Werlinger, that I've seen this kid play, 4.5 GPA, National Foundation honor student, zero maintenance, pre-law, ASU, U of A. Rich Rod's going to be on campus tomorrow to meet with the young man. They're looking at him as a preferred walk-on. There's some that don't think he's got a strong enough arm and all that nonsense. All I know is both Todd Graham and Rich Rod are trying to get to this kid by this weekend. The GPA, the standing helps out tremendously. I think that that's a direction that they're both looking at going. I also think this quarterback could lead to some other players. Nate Phillips, who was terrific this year for the U of A, first team, All-American as a freshman. Came out of the same high school, and there's some other kids that are going to be at that high school coming down the pike. So Rich Rod's going to be there on campus tomorrow trying to convince this quarterback to go. Todd Graham's trying to meet with this quarterback along with Mike Norvell. National Letter of Intent Day is next week, but we're already pretty much through the 14 class. Next week, there'll be a lot of buzz about National Letter of Intent Day and who's signing where and who has the greatest class. But trust me, most of these coaches have already moved on to kids that are in 2015. If you're one of those crazy dads who thinks that your kid is going to go to Alabama to be the star quarterback and then go to the NFL, and you're going to do anything and everything possible to try to get him noticed, they're going to find him, first of all. And second of all, I think if you go to our site, go to sports360az.com, and Jason Jewell does a terrific job with scout.com. He contributes on our high school platform. The latest recruiting roundup comes up. They'll answer your questions about when should you get started, how should you get started, should I be one of these dads that puts my kid in a quarterback camp at third grade trying to get him recruited. Stuff's crazy. But we'll be doing a lot of recruiting stuff over the next week. Plenty of content, sports360az.com, AZ Central Sports, appreciate the partnership with them, White Mountain Radio, and of course we're on Twitter, @BradSesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T.